Kosher, Beyond Psychology, Responses to Disciples' Questions, given in Punta del Este, Uruguay, Discourse Number 34.
Beloved Bhagwan, I heard you say that if a person can remember his birth and being in the womb, then the memory of his last death may come. I have tried to remember, but only imagination is there. I also heard you say that it is not possible to remember beyond 3 to 4 years old because the baby has no mind. Is there a remembrance that is not of the mind?
There is no remembrance that is not of the mind. But you don't know the whole mind. When you are trying to remember, you are using only the conscious mind. Conscious mind can go only up to the age 4. But below the conscious is the unconscious mind. Sometimes in your dreams you go deeper than the conscious mind can ever lead you. Many of your dreams are memories of your past lives. But you have no way to recognize that they are of the past life. So a special method is there which is something like hypnosis. It can be done by somebody else on you, which is simpler because you can relax completely. And he can lead you deeper into the past life. And in hypnosis or in Buddhist or Jaina terminology, because they discovered the method first, it is called Jati Smara, remembering the past lives. In hypnosis, you don't hear anybody else except the person who has hypnotized you. He can talk to you, you can answer him, yet you will remain fast sleep, you will not come to the conscious. So only in the hypnosis your unconscious can be communicated, can be asked questions. And this can be repeated again and again. And if the same fact comes up without exception, the same memory comes up, the same story comes up, then certainly it is not imagination. Another thing, through hypnosis, the other person can teach you, not your conscious mind. Because whatever the conscious mind does, there is an effort and tension, and that is preventive for the conscious mind to surface. The conscious mind has to be completely relaxed so the unconscious can surface. In hypnosis, it is better to begin with someone. And it is such a simple method that anyone can do it. It does not need any expertise. I will tell you about the method, how you can help each other. And when you have become a good medium, that you can slip very easily into the unconscious, then finally the unconscious can be told that you are capable to reach to your past life. It can be given a certain symbol to avoid the conscious mind completely. For example, it can be told that if you repeat Om, Om, Om 3 times, you will fall into hypnosis. Before using this mantra, anything can be used. 1, 2, 3. It doesn't matter. Those words are not significant. Before doing it, you have to tell your conscious mind that wake me up after 10 minutes. The other person also does the same, but it is easier for you because you are not doing anything. But once you have been able to go into deeper layers of your past life or past lives, the other person can tell to the unconscious that this is your mantra. 1, 2, 3. And whenever you will say it, you will fall into unconscious state. But remember to tell the conscious to wake you Otherwise, who will wake you out of unconsciousness? It can become a coma. Unconscious mind is 9 times bigger than the conscious. It has tremendous treasures. All memories of your past. And below the unconscious there is collective unconscious. One can descend into the collective unconscious also. First, with somebody's help, that used to be the work of a mystery school, that the master will take you slowly towards unconscious, collective unconscious. In your collective unconscious, you have memories of your past lives as animals, as birds, below the collective unconscious is the cosmic unconscious. Slowly, slowly one can go deeper and deeper. And the collective unconscious has the memories of your being trees, rose bushes, stones, so mind is not only that which you know, there is much to be discovered in your own mind. It is yours, it is there, but not easily available. For reasons it is not easily available. Nature makes barriers because it will confuse you. If there was no barriers between the conscious and the unconscious and the collective unconscious and the cosmic unconscious, even this small mind, the conscious mind, is so confusing, so disturbing. If you knew all that you have lived for millennia, from the very beginning, naturally you will get in such a mess, in such a madness. For example, you love a woman. She may have been your mother in the past life. And if you remember it, then you will be in a trouble. But she may have been in your collective unconscious your murderer. Then things become even more complicated. And those realities are so authentic as the realities of your life. You will get mixed up. How you are going to behave with this woman who is your wife, who was your mother, who was your murderer. Whatever you do with this woman will create guilt in you. You will not be at ease. That's the reason why nature goes on putting barriers between your past existences and allows you only this life's memories. The science of hypnosis has been condemned by all religions. And the reason is that if hypnotism becomes a scientific inquiry accepted, and once it is explored, it has to be accepted, because it fulfills all the criteria of being a science, then there will be trouble. Christians cannot say there is only one life. Mohammedans can't say there is only one life. Darwin can't say that man has evolved out of the apes. It will depend on the research through thousands of people's total minds, what they say. Because Hindus believe that man's consciousness has evolved out of the consciousness of cows. That's why they call them mother. And I think a cow as a mother looks more relevant than a monkey as the father. And the Hindus are saying through a certain research into the mind, it has been for centuries available in the East, how to go into the past lives. And there has not been a single exception. That whenever you cross the border of the collective conscious, collective unconscious mind, you pass from the body of a cow, not the body from a monkey. It is not a question of hypothesis. With Darwin, it is only hypothetical, just a conjecture. And now he is being refuted even by scientists. Now there are not many Darwinians. They are out of date. The latest research in evolution does not help Darwin and his theory. They say that for thousands of years we have not seen any monkey evolving into man. Neither we have seen the reverse, that a man reversing into a monkey. And Darwin could not provide, which was asked again and again his whole life, it was a nightmare for him, the missing link. Because from the monkey to man, it cannot be just a jump. That this moment you are a monkey, and next moment you decide to be a man, and you become a man. There must be a missing link, not only a link, perhaps many links, many steps, slowly, slowly. But this would be available. Darwin could not even find their dead bodies. That would have been a proof. We have been searching for dead bodies, and we have found as old as 90,000 years old human body in China, but it is still human. It is not a monkey. It is preserved by the snow. It is still human as you are. But Hindus have a totally different approach, and it is to be reminded that is the only point in all the religions that were born in India that they agree about everything else. They have their own philosophy, but about reincarnation they all agree. That is not just an accident, because all three religions were working on the same lines, looking into the unconscious of man, and they all found the same results. And to call cow the mother, the whole world laughs at it. But I don't think anybody understands why Hindus call the cow mother. And if they are right, then cow has the qualities of the mother. And it will be far better to be connected with the cow than with the monkeys. So don't try to remember. It is not a question of remembering. You cannot cross the barrier with conscious mind. You can only imagine. And you will know that it is imagination because it changes every time. And you know perfectly well that you are imagining. Go through a hypnotic process. And the hypnotic process is very simple. The simplest the mind, the conscious mind, has to be focused on something just for a few seconds. For example, a bulb of electric light. Don't have anything in the room so that the mind can wander here and there. Just a bare room with only one thing, an electric light in the night. Lie down, relax, and take the help of a person whom you trust. That is the most important thing, because the conscious mind will not relax unless there is trust. It will keep itself alert. The man may do something, take you someplace, and you will not be aware of it. That's why I said it was part of a mystery school, where there were masters whom people trusted, or there was one great master who helped you. You trusted him. And he said to you that this man is going to take you into hypnosis. Your trust in me should be your trust in him too. I am choosing him. Or if it was possible for the master himself, the school was small, then he was doing it once in a while just to show to others what happens. The process is very simple. You have to lie down relaxed, the whole body relaxed, looking from the toe inside the body, seeing if there is any tension. If there is any tension near the knee or near the stomach or anywhere, then relax it there. Bring that relaxation up to your head, and your eyes are focused on the light. And it is easy to recognize when you have come to the point where you are on the border of conscious and unconscious. Your face changes. It starts looking sleepy. It loses the quality of awakening. And at that moment, the master goes on saying, the sleep is coming. Deep sleep is coming. You are falling into a sleep you have never fallen before. And a moment comes, even if you want to try to keep your eyes open, which has been told to you, that until your eyes close by themselves, in spite of you, you go on keeping them open. That keeps the conscious mind to be engaged. Soon it takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes, at the most 5 minutes, that your eyes start drooping. That means you are just crossing the border, and the master says you are falling, and I will count up to 7. With each number you will be going deeper. And he starts counting 1 and goes on repeating, the sleep is becoming deep. 2, the sleep is becoming deep. 3, and by 7 he closes it. By 7 he says, you have fallen into deep unconsciousness. Now you will be only available to me. You will not hear anything else, anybody else. Now the only communication with the world is through me. You will be able to hear me. You will be able to answer me. And the beauty of the unconscious is it never lies, because it has never been part of civilization. It has never been educated. It has never been turned into a hypocrite. It is very simple, very innocent. It simply says whatsoever is the case. Then for a few few seconds the master leaves you so that you can settle in that state, and then he starts asking you where you are. Perhaps you are in the womb of your mother. Perhaps you are being conceived . Perhaps you are dying in your past life somewhere, and you will answer that where you are. Describe it in detail, and you will describe it in detail. This can be taped, recorded. So that when you come back, you can listen to it. And the process has to be repeated many times. Because this is the proof. If it is imagination or dream, it will go on changing every time you do it. But if it is a reality, then nothing can be done about it. Each time you will come to that place, you will describe exactly what it is. And all your sayings can be recorded, so they can be compared later on when you are conscious, that you are saying the same thing again and again. It is not a dream. It is not imagination. You are coming across a real memory. You are reliving it. It is not only remembered, but relived. And once you have succeeded in getting one life back, then the same process, and you can go on deeper into other lives. There will come a barrier where human lives stop and animal lives start. That means you have come to the collective unconscious. Now the master needs to put you even in a deeper unconsciousness. And that can be done in your unconscious state. The first thing was done when you were conscious. It brought you to the unconscious. The second step has to be done, the same step, that I will repeat 7 times, that you are falling deeper into the collective unconscious, and you will start falling. Giving a little rest, he can again ask where you are, and you may say, I am a rose bush. Or anything that you have been. And you relive it. You can make every detailed description. Again the barrier will come when you pass from animals what you call matter, because matter is also consciousness, fast asleep. And that is the end of the journey. In the lower depths of your mind, if this is completed, your consciousness will go on changing with each new revelation. Your consciousness will become richer. And then a point comes when you have traveled all the way down backwards, downwards, that you can move upwards. From consciousness to super consciousness, until you reach to the cosmic consciousness. We are exactly in the middle. On both the sides, there are three stages: conscious, below it is unconscious, collective unconscious, cosmic unconscious, above it is superconscious. Super conscious. And cosmic conscious. Our mind has seven worlds. To know the past, to know our background, is to know the whole history of consciousness and its evolution until this moment. But that makes it clear that this is not the last stage. This cannot be. If there is so much behind you, there must be something ahead of you. So what Western psychology goes on trying is only working with one thing: unconsciousness, the first lower rung of the ladder. The Eastern psychology has worked on all the seven. But as you move from the conscious mind, hypnosis is the method. And hypnosis is not yet recognized by the scientists because they have not even tried it. It is very strange. Perhaps the reason is that science is a development of the West. And because the West has a Christian conditioning, it simply denies that there is anything else than this life. So from the very beginning one is prejudiced. Why bother about hypnosis? Few people have dared and tried, but they were all condemned by the society badly. Mesmer tried it. But was condemned. And there was a tradition of women who Christianity condemned as witches. They were trying hypnosis. And they were closer to the truth than Christianity has ever been. But thousands and thousands of witches were burnt alive. Their whole tradition completely erased. All their literature burnt. Only one copy of each book has been preserved in the Vatican. And it is the duty of UNO to take over the library of Vatican. It is underground. It has tremendous treasures that Christianity has destroyed and is still afraid to bring those books out in the light, because then the condemnation for Christianity will be immense, even from Christians, that what you were saying was not true. And what was truth was killed, burnt. But they are keeping at least one copy in their vast library. Nobody is allowed to enter into that library. Only until you become a cardinal, you are allowed in the library. But by that time you are so much conditioned and those books are written in a different way. Particularly to avoid the attention of Christians, they have used parables, diagrams and other things as if they are not about religion, they are about something else. But it is the duty of all the intelligentsia of the world that Vatican should be forced that that library does not belong to you. You have done enough harm. Now at least give that library to UNO and let scholars find out what beautiful literature you have destroyed, and that should be published and made available to anyone who wants it. One of the things that God destroyed in this was hypnosis and the method, the science and the results. It is now simply a condemnatory word. If you love me, if you trust me, anybody can say you are just hypnotized. He does not know even the meaning of the word. He does not know its implications. But he is using it to condemn you. But really, to be hypnotized and to go into the darker realms of your being is the first step to go into the lighter realms of your being. You contain the whole evolution, past, present, future. You have such an enormous being, and only a small window is allowed of conscious mind that this is you. Your vastness is denied. Your universality is denied. So if you really want to remember, not only to remember but to relive, then you will have to use the method of hypnosis. I am going as we settle somewhere to start a section which will be totally devoted to hypnosis and its implications. And I want every sannyasin to move through it. I am reminded of two incidents. One is in Gautam Buddha's life and one is in Vardhaman Mahavira's life. A man takes sannyas, becomes part of the community of Buddha, but finds it hard, difficult, arduous, is sad, depressed, thinks many times to leave it. And one day Buddha had called him and told him to sit in front of him. And move in the method of jati smar, that is hypnosis. He has not yet tried it. So somebody gave him the instructions to go into past lives, and it was amazing revelation that almost for 5 lives in the past he has taken sannyas and dropped it. That has become a routine of his consciousness. So Buddha said, now you are doing it again. It is up to you. But you have done it 5 times before. It is simply repetitive. You are wasting time. Either stop taking sannyas and do whatsoever you want, or be courageous. If you have taken, then go into it this time. This should not be repeated. 5 lives have been a waste. Looking at his own 5 lives, the same pattern, almost mechanical, the same wheel moving, first getting attracted with a great master, getting initiated with great enthusiasm, and then seeing the arduousness the difficulties of transforming himself, escaping, renouncing sannyas itself, and he comes back to it again and again. Buddha said, you can do it as long as you want. In your next life you will do it again. And for 5 lives nobody reminded you, because the masters you were working with were not masters of jati smaran. The man remained. It changed his whole attitude, that this is stupid. If it is hard, then it has to be faced. If it is a challenge, then it has to be taken. And he became one of the enlightened disciples of Buddha. The same is the story in Mahavira's life. A prince becomes enchanted with Mahavira's individuality. But he does not know that Mahavira's life is really arduous. Nobody has lived the way Mahavira had lived, naked in the winter, in the hot sun, hungry for months, fasting more, eating once in a while, barefooted, walking on the burning earth in the hot sun, but not using shoes, because shoes were made of leather in those days only. And to use shoes means you are indirectly supporting the industry of violence. Because the best leather comes when you kill. Young cubs, young kids. And if you want really a perfect leather, then you have to take the leather out of a cow's kid while the kid is living. You don't kill him first. First you take the leather, and in taking the leather, of course, he dies. That is the most soft and the best. Mahavira was absolutely against in any way supporting anything which is based on violence. This prince became, and naturally you can understand, the prince became impressed by the man, his integrity, his authority. His teaching, but he was not aware that life with him is going to be tremendously hard, and he had lived very luxuriously. But in a moment of enthusiasm, he takes sannyas into Mahavira's commune. Now 10,000 sannyasins used to move with Mahavira. And they were staying in a big caravan, sarai, and it was the routine that the older ones, the elder ones, that means those who have been longer in sannyas, should have better places. And accordingly, and this prince was just one day old sannyasin. In the night he got a place just near the door, main door, where where people leave their shoes, umbrellas and other things. And he was a son of a king. And in that door, sleeping was impossible. People were continuously coming and going. When there are 10,000 sannyasins, and he had never slept in such a situation, and he immediately thought that this is not the life I would like. Next morning I will ask apology and I will say, this is not the life for me. But before he reached Mahavir, Mahavir reached him. And asked him, to be taken into Jati Ismar. And the same process, for three lives, he has been doing the same thing, getting impressed by magnetic people, charismatic people, and then finding it difficult on small matters. And leaving them. In all those three lives he could have become enlightened, because those three people were capable of transpiring, triggering the process of enlightenment. And Mahavira said, you have missed three lives and you are missing the fourth. You can decide. But you are a warrior, not only a prince. Don't emphasize that you are a prince and you have lived only in luxury. Remember that you are a warrior and you have been fighting in wars, and there is nobody in this area who is a better swordsman, a better archer. Don't insult yourself. Don't humiliate yourself. This is escape. And the man remained. But the factor that helped these two men to remain was their reliving their past experiences. It is of tremendous use, but in the West it is so much condemned. That the condemnation has reached in the East too, because now East is just a parrot. Now the East is not the East it used to be. It is just a shadow of the West. All the Eastern scholars are produced by the West. They learn in Western seats of education, in Paris, in London, in Oxford, Cambridge, in Harvard, I have been continuously fighting in many universities in India that these scholars should not be called Eastern scholars, because whatsoever they have learned is Western, even though it is about Indian philosophy. They have learned it in Oxford. This is ridiculous. That to understand Indian philosophy, you have to go to Oxford. These are not Eastern in any way. Their whole approach is Western. So there is no more East really. Now it is all West. East has become so much interested in the Western success, in materialism, in technology, that it has forgotten that it has also become successful in a different world, the world of the inner, and has reached the highest peaks of illumination. So don't try to remember, but take the help of someone who can hypnotize you, whom you trust. Soon, as existence allows me to settle somewhere, I will create people who can help everybody to go into the past and experience and relive those moments . They will change your every attitude. They will make you aware that you are moving in a circle and it is time to get out of it. This is nonsense. Each life you are doing the same thing, moving in the same circle. And you can go on doing it eternally. Nobody is going to prevent you unless you decide to jump out of this viciousness.
Beloved Bhagwan, while traveling in Greece with a group of sannyasins, we visited Delphi, the place of the ancient oracle, and where, it is said, Pythagoras once lived. We all felt a peaceful happiness while walking around the ruins, and in the end, we all gathered on the top in the stadium and sat silently with each other. What happened to us? Why does one have such different feelings about different places?
People like Pythagoras, Socrates, plottiness. Gautam Buddha or Lao Tzu, Chuang Tzu, the people of such a state are continuously radiating not with any effort, effortlessly and spontaneously. Their experience just as the candle is radiating the light, their consciousness has become a light. Their being has attained to a fragrance, to a flowering. And everything around them is going to catch it. For centuries it will continue to vibrate. I have not been at Delphi. I was thinking, but before being at Delphi I was arrested and thrown out of Greece. But Delphi was one of the places I would have liked to visit. But in India I have visited few places. The place where Gautam Buddha became enlightened, Bodh Gaya, it is a small temple. Some followers made the temple as a memorial by the side of the tree under which Buddha became enlightened. That tree still remembers something. And I came to know later on that the Bodhi tree has a certain substance which no other tree has, and that is the substance which makes a man genius. Only geniuses have that substance in their mind. And Bodhi tree has that substance in the world of trees. Perhaps it is more perceptive, more receptive. It has a certain genius. And Buddha remain under that tree for many years. The whole area is still fragrant. They're just by the side of the tree is the place where he used to walk when he used to get tired sitting and meditating. Then he will walk and meditate. So that place is marked by marble stones. But sitting under the tree or walking on those marble stones, you can feel you are not in this world. That this place has something which no other place has. Perhaps the moment Buddha became enlightened, something exploded in him, was caught by everything that could catch it. And as we used to think before, it is not the case. Now it is well proved that trees are very sensitive, more sensitive than man. Just their sensitivity has a different level. One scientist was working on trees and he was surprised because he had put a certain mechanism just like a cardiogram that takes the graph of the feelings of the tree. And he was surprised that when the gardener came and he told the gardener that you go and cut one of the branches of the tree and I want to see the effect. But there was no need to cut the branch. As the gardener came with his axe, the graph was already going mad. The scientist said, "Don't do that." The tree has already caught the idea that you are going to cut and hurt her. And later on he became more amazed that you cut one tree and all other trees who are in the surrounding, their graphs go mad. And the same gardener comes to water the tree and the graph remains perfectly balanced. even becomes more harmonious. It seems the tree is capable to catch your thoughts, your ideas. Perhaps the same may be found about rocks, the earth, because they are all alive. Their life may be on a different level, but they are all alive. And certainly they are more simple and more innocent. People have been keeping in Tibet, they have been keeping the bodies of enlightened people, because if the trees and the stones and the earth is impressed by the great experience, then certainly the body of the man, his bones, must be getting impressed. They are more closer. Perhaps Tibetans were the first to understand it. They have 99 great masters' bodies, covered with gold, and that was used to be the most sacred place in Tibet. It is just, if you have seen the picture of Potala, the palace of the Dalai Lama, it is just underneath it. Because Potala is high on the mountains, so underneath there are many basements. One basement is devoted only to those 99 bodies. Why they stopped on 99? A strange figure. 100 would have been more appropriate. They had to stop because the lineage of Dalai Lamas, dropped from the height it used to be. And the country could not produce anybody worthy who could take the 100th seat in the sacred secret temples. It was opened once in a year for the people, just to pass through it was to pass through another world. Now it is completely closed so that communists cannot find it, because they will not be interested in the bodies, they will be interested in the gold. They will destroy those bodies and take the gold, and it is a great quantity of gold. So before this, Dalai Lama left Lhasa because of communist invasion on the country. He has sealed it in every possible way that they cannot discover, and they have not been yet able to discover it. Slowly, slowly, in all the countries where spirituality has flowered, people became aware that something happens. So people have preserved things. That were used by these people, are just have made memorials of their bodies, because in India bodies are burned. But you will be surprised to know that the remains after burning a body are called flowers. Ordinary people's ashes are drowned in holy rivers, but enlightened people's flowers are preserved in samadhis, in beautiful marble memorials, just to go there and sit there is in itself a meditation. But the trouble is that the world is ruled by those who understand nothing of this. For example, Delphi should not be allowed for everybody, because they will destroy its subtle vibration. But the government is interested in tourism. Delphi should be allowed only to few people who are chosen by a mystery school that should exist there. And Delphi was a mystery school. in the days of Pythagoras and Socrates, Delphi was the temple, the most famous temple of wisdom. And the priestess used to go into a trance while praying and dancing and singing in the temple, go into a trance, and in her trance she will say things which always proved to be true. She herself could not remember when she came back from the trance. Perhaps the trance was taking her higher into the mind, perhaps to the cosmic mind. In such a trance she has declared that Socrates is the wisest man in the world. And few people visiting her from Athens were very happy because Socrates was an Athenian. They reached to Socrates, he was old. Before his death, before his murder, and they said, you should be happy. The oracle of Delphi has declared you the wisest man in the world. Socrates said, it is too late. When I used to be very young, I used to think that I am very knowledgeable, very wise. The more I knew, the more I became ignorant. Aware that what I know is nothing and what I do not know is so much. Now in my old age, I can say without any hesitation that I do not know anything. The oracle, for the first time, it seems, missed. The people were very much surprised. Because Socrates should have been happy hearing it. They went back, the priestess again danced, fell into a trance. They asked her in trance that you said Socrates is the wisest man in the world, but he denies it. He says, I do not know anything. And the priestess in her trance said, that's why he is the wisest man in the world. Only idiots say that they know. Those who are wise cannot say that. Places like these are both Gaya, should not be available to tourists, which is the ugly race. with all their cameras, binoculars, and stupid things, and they are not interested in the place at all. They are taking photographs and rushing from here and there. Later on, sitting at home, they will look at photographs. That great, our tour has been great. Beautiful places we visited, you can see. But they were never there. They were with their cameras. They should sit there. They should allow themselves to absorb the subtle vibe of the place. Something of Gautam Buddha must be there. It has to be there. Okay, my nice.